This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to it. The Gardening Show is on B107.5. And you can email us, garden@WESB.com. And we're on Facebook Live as well. And you can get your question of Bob that way through the comments on our Facebook Live. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Igor.
Well, how are you?
I'm good.
All right. And, well, you brought in some show and tell again today.
I sure did.
It's very tall show and tell. Yeah. So we'll get to that in a little bit. If you'd like to follow along on facebook.com/WESB1075, you may. If not, we will do our best to describe
the
plants to you. So what do you have to talk about today?
First thing I want to talk about is spraying. Now, I try to do as little as possible, but sometimes we have to use an herbicide like Roundup to get rid of weeds.
Okay.
And that's okay. I do myself. In some areas, it's extremely important, like a blacktop or a concrete driveway. If you have those little cracks, weed seeds are going to end up in there and weeds are going to start to grow. And as they grow, those roots are forcing that crack to open further and further, so it can really deteriorate your driveway in a hurry. So that's where an herbicide like Roundup is going to come in handy. And a couple little rules, you know, always read the label. I know it's boring, but please.
It's kind of long. I don't have time for that.
You never want to spray on a day where it's windy, because you get what we call drift. When you're spraying, there'll be fine particles. And on a windy day, that particle can float in the air for a good distance and land on a plant you don't want it to be on. Or on a hot day, 80 degrees or above, the particles vaporize and become a vapor.
Oh, wow.
So they float very easily. They can float even on a 5-mile-an-hour breeze and float to a plant that you don't want to get them on. So you don't spray on windy days. You don't spray on hot days. Most of them now are formulated so that they're good within 30 minutes, so you can't use that excuse anymore as, well, it's going to rain.
Oh, okay.
You know, if it's going to rain in an hour, you're okay.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know, because, yeah, I have no idea.
Or, you know, you don't want to also spray early in the morning when there's a lot of dew on the plants yet, the weeds, because that means water, and that dilutes the chemical. Those driveways, you know, real important pathways, patios, all those areas, it's going to be very helpful there. And now another hint on how to protect other plants that may be nearby, I like to cut a big sheet of cardboard off a box I've saved.
Yep.
Everybody saves a box, you know, especially when you got, that's a good box. I can't throw it away.
Yeah, you can't throw a good box away.
Yeah. So I like to use a piece of cardboard because it's light and it works. So I can put that piece of cardboard in between where I'm spraying and a plant that I don't want to get any spray on at all. So that you've protected it that way. So that's a real good way. Another way is you can throw a sheet over your plants or plastic over it for a short period of time and then spray. And then after you're done spraying, remove that cover. And in that way, everything is safe that way. Also with spraying, you know, sometimes we get a lot of weeds in our lawn, and some of us don't like a lot of weeds in our lawn.
I love weeds in my lawn.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Some of us don't like weeds.
Yeah.
I mean, just because I have them doesn't mean I'm in love with them.
Yeah. I do to a point, you know, but once weeds, are more powerful growers than just about any other plant. But first, try to identify the weeds. It helps because there are things you can do before you even spray. Weeds like Creeping Charlie, they like wet conditions. So that's telling us it's wet in that area. So maybe we can help correct that wetness. A shady area, plants like the wild violet, and there's other plants too, like to grow in that area. So maybe we just have to say, well, it's a shady area, and wild violets and other weeds are going to grow and be happy with it. Or we can try to trim the trees that are making the shade, or some other thing that may be making the shade, to try to let a little more sunlight in, and that will stop or slow up the growth of those wild violets.
Now, the wild violets, I'm imagining, are the purplish.
Yeah.
Look, see, I kind of like, honestly, I do like a little color.
Yeah, I don't mind them at all either.
And like in the corner, you know, of a yard or something like that, maybe just let a little bit grow.
Yeah, I don't mind a few dandelions and violets and any of those that flower. Don't mind them at all.
It's a little pop of color. I don't know.
As long as they just don't try to take over.
Yeah.
And a big one that can take over is Creeping Charlie.
Yeah, I have that.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
And that's a real ground hugger. It creeps along the ground. And a small leaf about the size of a quarter around there, where it's scalloped, like, if I'm explaining this right.
Scalloped.
Yeah, scalloped, wavy like edge to the leaf,
mm-hmm.
and although the leaf is flat. Now, that's indicating acidic conditions most of the time. A little damp, a little acidic. So before you even spray that one, and you have a lot more success, because you can spray that till you're blue in the face, and you won't kill it all off. You may get rid of a lot of it, but it'll come back. Because it likes acidic soil, your grass does not like acidic soil. So it leaves an opening for that weed to take over. So one of the first things you may want to consider is, of course, you should get a soil test to decide. But in my world, I can tell that's acidic soil because Creeping Charlie and nut grass and some of these other ones that love acidic conditions are growing. So I know it's acidic.
I've never even heard of nut grass before.
Oh, yeah, that can be a real bane too, because it grows twice as fast as your other grass.
Okay.
It's a lot lighter color.
That must be what I have too.
Oh, probably we all do.
I have the most problematic lawn, I think, in the block.
Well, everywhere in Bradford is like that. So they like acidic conditions. So it's a good idea before you even think about spraying is to apply some lime. Now, lime doesn't work overnight. It takes months.
Oh, okay.
But you can start the process right away. So apply the lime, wait a week maybe or two. Then you can start spraying the herbicide and make sure it's the correct herbicide for weeds. Don't use Roundup. That kills everything it touches, everything green it touches.
Yeah.
So make sure it's... And I always hate to name products, but...
Well, you've already done Roundup a good amount of advertising today, so...
So Weed Be Gone is one of my favorites.
Got it.
Yeah. That's a great one. It's very safe for your lawn, but it will knock out broadleaf weeds like Creeping Charlie and dandelions and clover. It will knock those out. So add the lime first for those acidic areas. Where clover is growing, that's not acidic. You know, they like neutral soil, same soil that a good grass grows in. So that's a different situation. Just because you see clover, don't think you need to add lime. It's Creeping Charlie and nut grass and possibly...
Wild violet?
Wild violets and buttercups.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those are in acidic conditions.
Is there a special kind of lime? Is there a wrong lime to use?
Yeah, try to just use regular pelletized garden lime.
Pellets, okay.
Yeah. There are a lot of other limes out there. One is hydrated lime. That's very, very strong. That should be just left for the pros to use because it can do a lot of damage in a hurry if you don't know how to apply it correctly.
What about that powder stuff they sell at Tractor Supply?
Yeah, that's fine.
The barn lime or whatever?
Yeah, that's fine too. That's real fine.
So that's the same stuff as the pellet, but it's just very fine powder.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and the only difference between them two is, you know, the powdered one tends to make a mess and can blow away on a windy day. The pelletized one, not going to make a mess as little pellets drop right to the soil. And as it rains, they start to melt into the soil.
Now, can you overdo it with the lime? And could it hurt your soil?
Yes, in a heartbeat it can.
Okay.
Yeah. And which is going to take me to tomatoes.
Okay.
Because I know a lot of people say I got blossom end rot. That's that black spot on the bottom of your tomato. And they say, well, that's lack of calcium. Not in Bradford. I can't say that enough. Not in Bradford. There is no lack of calcium here. And by adding lime, you're going to injure the tomato plant. Tomato plants like acidic conditions. They do not like alkaline or limey areas. So you can do more damage by adding lime to your tomato than you are doing any good. Again, it's not lack of lime that's causing blossom end rot around here.
So what is it?
Most of it's a fungus, which is everywhere. Mm-hmm. But when conditions are just right, which is damp and warm, which that's what we have, then the fungus has a chance to grow. The bee may have pollinated a flower with that fungus on it already, a dandelion flower, a clover, whatever in your yard. Then he goes over to your tomato, and as he's getting more pollen and nectar, he's spreading that fungus there. So in damp conditions, we can spread that fungus. That's another reason why we want to trim our tomatoes all the time. If they get too leafy, that's not a good thing. So we want good air circulation through there all the time, so they're always drying out quickly. So that fungus doesn't have a chance to take a foothold and start to multiply in those damp conditions. Also, with the tomato, a lot of us are starting to see our fruits have set and they're starting to get bigger. And so they're not ripening like we hoped they would. A couple things we can do. Number one, again, is trim off a lot of those leaves. We don't want a lot of leaves on a tomato plant because that's shading it. And, of course, that tomato is going to stay green in the shade. Another thing is we should have stopped fertilizing our tomato plant by now. By adding fertilizer, a lot of people think that, well, they're not ripening, I'll add some more fertilizer. No, that's going to cause more leaf growth and more stem growth. It's not going to help ripening the fruit. So we should have stopped fertilizing by now. And if it's a last resort, which I end up doing every year, you can pick green tomatoes, put them in a paper bag with one slice of apple or banana or any kind of fruit, because as that fruit starts to rot, it gives off an ethylene gas, and that ethylene gas speeds up the ripening process. Now, the fruit, I call it fruit, tomato. Mm-hmm. It's still fine. And that type of ripening is fine, too. It's still going to have all the nutrition and taste that you'd ever want. As a matter of fact, in the big grocery store chains, they have these holding centers where they'll get a whole semi-load of tomatoes. Well, the farmer doesn't want to pick them ripe because as he loads up his big crates, those ripe ones would squish, and mm-hmm. then they're not going to get a good delivery. So they pick them green. They take them to the warehouse. they're put in these rooms. And in these rooms, the door is closed up tight. They start injecting ethylene gas that ripens the tomatoes. Then they can deliver them to the store.
Wow.
So that's how ethylene gas works. And, you know, as a matter of fact, it even goes so far as that's part of the reason a dandelion ended up in America. That's not a native plant, the dandelion.
Oh, really?
We never had dandelions till we had apple trees.
Oh, that Johnny.
Yeah, yeah.
Johnny Appleseed, right?
Because dandelions give off a lot of ethylene gas. They help ripen the apples so we can eat apples quicker. Or they are also brought to this country as a product to make us healthier. If you eat a spring salad of dandelion greens, it'll help your system a great deal. I had to do it when I was a kid. My grandma passed it to my mom passed it to me. Now, I didn't make my daughter eat dandelion greens.
Because it's gross, right?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty horrible, nasty. You can't put enough dressing on that. But we had to do that every year because that's how we grew up. So that's part of the reason dandelions are in this country also is for our health. The Europeans brought them over because that's what they practiced.
I don't mind them so much. I guess I'll take it. With you know, I like apples and apple pie. So, yeah. All right, I'll look at some dandelions. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Hey, can we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's thank Worth W. Smith for sponsoring the show. We'll be right back in 30 seconds. The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
At Worth W. Smith Company, you'll find what you need when it comes to shovels, rakes, pruners, and all sorts of other gardening and landscaping tools. Why take the chance of getting splinters from old dried-up cracked handles or the frustration of fighting with the rusty chipped cutting edge on your loppers? Their staff is always eager to lend a helping hand with getting you what you need for the project ahead. Stop and see them today at any of their six locations in Bradford, Olean, Salamanca, Cuba, and Eldred. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company.
As promised, back in 30 seconds, it's B107.5 FM and The Gardening Show. And on Facebook.com/WESB1075 and, of course, on demand at WESB.com, you can hear the show whenever you'd like. So it's time for our show and tell portion of the show. What do we have here?
It's a perennial called anemone. Anemone. I brought this one in particular because it's a shade lover.
Anemone.
Anemone, yeah.
So keep your friends close, but your anemones even closer.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It's a great, great perennial. It'll last for 100 years.
Wow.
It will produce seed, and you'll even get more. So I want to just show you a little closer.
Why don't we describe how it looks to our radio friends? Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a maple-shaped leaf on it. Oops, wait, this way.
You could never do that. Yeah, it's like not a mirror like you're used to.
Big blossoms on it. They come in other colors too, but loves the shade. So it grows well in the shade, reproduces in the shade, flowers well in the shade, supports the pollinators in the shade. So it's difficult to get flowering plants for the shade. So this is a great one here for the shady area. I wanted to show that because
Does it get taller or wider?
No, that's about its height. As it gets older, it may get, 6 inches taller. But that's the height is just the flower stem. The leafy part of the plant stays nice and low.
So it doesn't expand? It doesn't take over an amount of
time? No, it's not very aggressive at all.
It stays put?
Yes, it stays put.
Okay.
But really shows up well in the shade because the flowers are nice and large, and they grow on stems that are way above the plant. So it tends to really show off. Great, great perennial for the shade.
Anemone, and that one has, are they all the same color, or do they come in different colors?
Different colors, yeah.
So this is like a violet pink kind of look,
and yep.
Do they all have the yellow inside target?
Yes, yes. That's the pollen on the anthers there. That yellow in there. That's what the...
I call them targets now because that's what you've told me. Like the bees use that as a
target. They do
indeed. They fly to that and that's how they pollinate.
And even now that you got me started.
Uh-oh.
Even the petal shape. Well, it's going to be hard for you to see.
Yeah.
But there's one petal that sticks straight up towards the sun, and the other ones are off to the side or down. That's also giving the bee a clue on where to enter the flower, because the flower wants that bee to rub against that yellow pollen to carry it to another plant to pollinate it. So it's kind of directing the bee to where you land, so you'll rub up against that pollen before you get the reward, which is nectar.
I would have never even noticed that, but now that you pointed it out, there is a little point, like a little arrow on the top petal.
Yep. A lot of plant flowers will have a different colorization even inside the flower, showing the bee, this is where you land, crawl towards the center, and that's where you'll get some pollen rubbed on you, and then you can get the nectar.
So that's anemone.
Anemone.
So we started a little late. We're going to go about another 5 minutes into the show.
Oh, okay.
We'll extend it another five.
A great, great perennial, lavender. Lavender. But a couple things as a perennial. This doesn't want to be in a wet, shady area. It wants to be a hot, dry area. It's a Mediterranean plant. So if you don't really have a hot, dry area, make a raised section, a hump. Plant it on top of the hump so it's always getting drainage, good drainage. A wet area will destroy this plant in a hurry. But you also have the benefit of having a nice lavender. A lot of people like to pull a few leaves off of, put it in your pillow. You'll sleep better at night. A lot of pollinators love it. So you'll be doing them a favor, the bees and the butterflies.
You know what my wife does? She puts in a like a fabric sleeve thing and puts it behind a fan at night.
Yeah, a sachet.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, good idea. Because it's proven that it helps you relax, the smell of lavender. So that's a great plant. And you can continue to trim it. It'll regrow quite quickly. And so you'll always have fresh lavender. It'll pretty much die back in the winter, but it'll come back in the spring as long as it's in a sunny, dry location.
Do you have to trim it for it to come back better?
No, you don't have to. No. Mm-hmm. Most people do because the leaves will stay on there and they don't look pretty. So most people like to trim it just to clean it up to make it look better.
Okay, and then do those get taller or wider over time?
Yeah, taller and wider over time. They don't necessarily multiply. It just continues to grow from the same plant that you planted.
So that's not like one like last week we were talking about dividing plants.
Yes, yeah, this is not one that you couldn't divide, not very easily.
And so my question is, what's that big one that I've been looking at this whole time? What is that, 3 feet tall?
Yeah, and going to get taller. One of my favorite plants are the ornamental grasses.
Okay.
One of the reasons is, I'll start with that, is it's deer-proof.
Oh.
And woodchuck and rabbit-proof. And you can tell by, if you run your hand up the leaf, it's smooth. But if you try to go back down, am I showing that? No. Run it up, it's smooth. But if you go back down, you can't. There's lots of little hairs on there that are very sharp. And once the deer's nose touches that, or its tongue, or its lips, it'll be irritated. So it'll stay away from this plant. I've never seen a deer or any other animal feed off of ornamental grass. So it's a nice one. This is one of those ones that you can dig and divide every few years so you have more and more. But what else is neat about them is they take very, very little care. They're almost, it's a grass, so it's like your lawn, you know. You can just let it go and it'll be fine.
So moist, moist or dry soil?
Yeah, there are different ones. Some like it moist. Some like it hot and dry. Some like it so moist that you can even grow it in your pond. They like that much water. Mm-hmm. So depending on what variety you get, and they will, what we call flower. It's not a real true flower. It's what we call plume. This hasn't started yet, but it will. And it gets like a feathery cattail looking thing on top.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. And some of them can be quite colorful. Some of them can be a real deep burgundy. So they really show off. And they're usually way up above the plant. So in a nice gentle wind, they move around. And that's kind of important to add a little movement to your garden, too. It's a good eye catcher. They can also be used as a privacy fence because a lot of them will get 6-7 foot tall. Boy, I can go on and on about grasses. I like them because they are so carefree. Mm-hmm. And again, every 5 years, I can dig it up and divide it, and I can have several more plants.
And it's such a dramatic look, too. I mean, you get a lot of visibility really quickly.
Yes, and that's another key feature of it. It can be a focal point. If you want people to look a certain area in your yard, a nice tall plant is ideal, and grasses is perfect for that. It'll draw your eye to that area in a hurry. So it's doing its job that way, too.
Great. Okay.
So ornamental grass. And there's a lot of different ones. There are some ornamental grasses that never get over a foot tall. And then there are some ornamental grasses that will get upwards of 7 foot tall. But they all put up that nice plume, and it'll remain there all the way through the winter as long as snow and ice doesn't bend it down. So they're nice that way. Early spring, you give it a good haircut, and it'll send up all new growth and start the process all over again.
Can you cut it too low?
Not really, no. No. I like to cut mine about 6 inches. Mm-hmm. I can't.
See, I wouldn't even got that close. Oh. I was thinking, oh, man, you don't want to do a buzz cut because it'll kill the thing.
But out at Pitt, I had a lot of them growing in a certain area. So to save time, I just raised the mower up as high as it would go and drive right over the top of them.
Wow.
So, yeah, they can be cut low also.
Boy, that's got to be satisfying. I'll get you. Mow right over it. Annihilate everything in your path.
So ornamental grass, it's a great, great plant.
Now, if you just let that go, will it take over eventually?
No.
Does it stay put?
It would take a lot of years. Yeah it stays put. It just gets bigger all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end up somewhere else in the yard.
So those cattails don't spread the seed? So
no,
it
they
starts
don't.
Growing somewhere.
That's what's neat about them, too. 99% of the ornamental grasses are sterile.
Okay.
Sterile for our area. They don't produce a seed that's going to fall down and pop up somewhere else. There are a few varieties, which I've never seen them for sale around here, that can produce a good seed. You see them along highways and byways, but they're not for sale around here.
Gotcha. Okay. Anything else today before we leave? I think we covered it, too. Great,
yeah.
Great. Well, if you have any questions during the week, please give us an email, garden@wesb.com. And you can also hear the show again on demand, wesb.com. And I don't know, what else? Just the Facebook video will be on there for you on demand. So we're there for you. All right. So you have a great weekend, Bob.
You too.
And we'll see you again next week. The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. Right here on B107.5 FM. Happy gardening.